Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ, with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we thank you. We give you the glory. We bless you. We thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you that you help us, Father, with your word. Thank you that you help us to understand. Help us to understand. Help us to receive a greater revelation of the love of God, of your love, and of the finished works of Christ Jesus. That the faith that was given by the Lord Jesus himself, our faith which we use here, can function better. We love you and we thank you. And we will not stop praising you and thanking you for your goodness. Because all the good comes from you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, we'll continue with our study series, God is My Source. And we're going to see tonight's title, The Danger of the False Message of Grace. This is part of what we saw in our last session of renewing our mind. Remember that we spoke on the importance of changing our way of thinking. So, go to Jude chapter 1 verse 4, and I'll be explaining why right now in a little. Jude 1 verse 4. All those who are listening and watching through different areas of the world, thank you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And God has a plan of victory. Jude chapter 1. Verse 4, it's the only chapter there is. 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for their condemnation. Ungodly men who turned the grace of our God to lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness. Now, this isn't new. This has advanced even more because there's more population in the world now. There's more technology, so heresy, false prophets extend more through technology. So now, go to Revelations chapter 2, and we'll go back. We are in Jude. So Revelations 2. Revelation 2. So the Lord speaking here, speaking to the church of Pergamum. So in 2:12, and to the angel of the churches in Pergamos write, these things say he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. So Antipas was a man of God. And these pagan men, Pergamos, put him into a golden bull of bronze, and they lit it on fire, and he burnt inside of there. Terrible death. Who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. So that's what false grace does. It puts a stumbling block to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those, notice this, who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate the doctrine. So that word Nicolaitans is from someone named Nicholas. So I'm establishing some foundations. So in Acts 6, verse 1 to 7. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. The next, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation." Notice this. 7 men of good reputation, or of good testimony, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continuity to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So notice these men had good testimony and were filled with the Holy Spirit. But from what it seems, something happened here. Verse 5, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas." Nicholas was between those men of good testimony and full of the Holy Spirit, but as the years passed, he fell. So never think that you and I cannot fall unless we are doing something trusting in God and understanding, which is why, to me, understanding, when I say understanding, it has to do with revelation. Understanding truly the grace of God and the principles of the kingdom, it's a foundation to never fall in heresy and to teach something balanced, biblical, a biblical and balanced teaching which you can trust. That's why it's called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Go back to Jude. Jude chapter 1. Verse 4, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who mark their condemnation ungodly, who turn the grace of God into lewdness." Now, lewdness can be translated into debauchery. So, libertinage, licentiousness, debauchery. So, licentiousness, unbridled lust, unbridled excess, insolence, shamelessness, libertinage, and debauchery. Now, there is a difference between liberty and libertinage. I'm going to clarify something. In no part of the Bible does it say that we walk by grace. We walk by faith, we can say, in the grace of God or under the grace of God, and by faith, under the time of grace. And we understand that. Now, once you understand that, when you understand that, you will walk in that grace by faith through liberty, not libertinage. When people say, people grab libertinage all the time, or debauchery. Oh, my apologies. I think I'm going to sneeze. Thank you. Excuse me. That's how I tell my children sometimes. I tell my children that I'll kid with them, even with the kids from multimedia. They say, "I'll pray for you because it will be terrible being with me. It must be terrible being with me and then suddenly having to let me go. It must feel terrible." Thank you. I think something is poking me here in my nose. "Did you shower?" No, I'm kidding. Hallelujah. Thank you. And when my children, when I sneeze, and they tell me, "Bless you," and instead of me saying, "Thank you," I say, "You're welcome." And then they tell me, "Thank you." You know why? Because I give them the opportunity to serve me. I know it might seem very, very selfish, but that's how I kid with them. Now, we convert into lewdness. Now, I said that there is a difference between liberty and libertinage. I walk in liberty. Now, I know there are those who are crazy and make a heresy out of things, and this isn't a criticism, this is an observation, that almost daily I learn and receive, be it through electronic messages of pastors who do things, and many of them preach grace, and I don't know about them, but they're not my guide. Jesus is my guide. But this one pastor told me, in the state of the in the United States, he was thrown in jail because he put cameras in the bathrooms of the women, and they sentenced him, and he will be between 8 and 10 years. And what happens? The guilt towards wife, his children, the church. And there are people who do things that will say, well, under the grace of God. Well, don't be scared to preach the truth. The solution is not to preach lies so that people misunderstand things. The truth is our job is to teach the truth. And which is why all this data that I'm giving you before entering into our recording, because they have something that is balanced. And that's just in one platform. Without counting our webpage and the downloads of the app, and many people are not where it says, well, I won't say many, but a few see us when they see our live services. At the end of the year, I'll give you a report of what God did this year. All the glory is for Him. Now, people will tell me and have told me, well, don't preach that because people are going to go to extremes and exaggerate. A person who uses the grace of God to walk in disobedience is either they didn't understand or they were never born again. Or the devil tricked them. Now let's go to Colossians. Lord. No, I don't have a flu and I won't get a flu by the grace of God. No, truly, I think something was causing a bit of discomfort in nostril, perhaps dust or something. But even then, and if you get a cold, if I get a cold, I'll use all of what grace has given me, which is healing and faith, and I'll fight it until it goes away. See why I enjoy grace? I'm not condemned. Colossians 3. Verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Now, I said on Tuesday, this isn't about the children of God. Sons of disobedience is the world. The world does not have a covenant with God. Now, God is not punishing them, sending them earthquakes or things like that. God is merciful. But we do see instances, I won't go there today, but we see instances in the book of Acts where under the time of grace, there was judgment by God. Now, I'm not saying that God is killing people, but it's not convenient to use grace very loosely, thinking about the world. But God could deal with a person from the world in a rude way because they are not in covenant with God. Now, verse 7. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Now again, in which you once walked. Verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these. Here it goes. Anger. Someone say ouch or amen, either or. Anger, wrath. No, thank you. Thank you for one honest person. Ouch. Uh-huh. I said on Tuesday, how many of us are guilty of that? Remember how I said, how I did this? Amen. Glory to God. Now, that's the thing of Christians, where, especially in our area, where, no, I'm very perfect. I walk by faith. Yeah, you walk by faith, but you're not doing anything perfectly. We make an effort in the Lord, but we don't do it. We don't use it as an excuse as to not. But that's part of growing and maturing. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Remember what I told you, what this means? Blasphemy. Speaking things of people, for example, blasphemy includes things that cannot assure. Just speaking things of people that you don't know. Dishonest words means filthy communications, cursing, double meaning words. We don't have any job of ours listening to Polo Polo. Now, there is a grace for him. I don't judge him or anything. But that's not for us. So what does false grace tell you? Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Live how you want. Regardless, God loves you. And it's true, God does love you. But the apostle of grace, which is the apostle Paul, said not to do these things because you'll give place to the devil in your life. And you'll harden your heart towards God. And you'll be filled with trash, spiritual trash here in your soul. How many of you have perhaps gone to a store or a thrift store or a general store and there's some just music that's just blasting that you don't even listen to, or you don't listen to that music anymore? And then later on you're in the car humming to it. Well, it's because that's how it works. It works in the soul, in the mind. And eventually it's things that neither glorify God. It's not about it being sin or anything. It's that it doesn't glorify God. And now that music does not give glory to God. It glorifies the works of the devil. And you'll be filled with that instead of being filled with praise and worship for God. For example, have you ever been with people that they can't be driving without listening to the radio? They don't know how to listen to God, and not that it's wrong to listen to the radio. Well, the worldly radio, I don't recommend it. But there are people who just can't. They can't listen to God because they get uncomfortable if they have to have some sort of background noise. Get used to spending time with the Lord, having a relationship with Him. John 7, verse 3. John 17, verse 3. Will you look at how beautiful the book is going to end up for on Born Again? It's going to be very beautiful, very nice, very well explained, very detailed. Millions of people will be saved through Word of Faith Ministry for the glory of God. It's true. Not glorifying myself, it's for the Lord. All the glory is His. Now, and this is eternal life. And this is eternal life. What does it say? And this is eternal life. What is eternal life? That dying and going to heaven? No. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That they may know you. Now that word, that they may know, indicates having intimacy. Go to Genesis 4. Verse 1, if you renew your mind, changing your way of thinking, depend only on God, your life will change. Genesis 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew his wife, Eve. Now this is not talking about they were presented like, oh, I present you, Adam, I present you, Eve, oh, nice to meet you. Adam, nice to meet you. Eve, nice to meet you. No, it's not talking about knowing, it's talking about intimacy. Now Adam knew his wife. And she conceived and bore. That knowing conceived and bore Cain. and gave light. So you and I have that intimacy with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit. Eventually, we will conceive and give light. To give light, that it's something spiritual. It's what I'm referring to. It's something spiritual, actually. Again, it's not boasting. I give all the glory to God. I was speaking with my children. I don't remember if we were with Anthony or Nubi or something like that. Just talking with them, giving glory to God. And truly, practically, I have, from COVID till now, I've never been sick of COVID. And from 4 years going on, I haven't had a single cold. And in a few occasions, working outside during winter, working with my cattle there in the kraals where I live, one day we got a hailstorm. And I wanted to have symptoms, but I said, nope. But you know why? We have a revelation when you spend time with God. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I desire above all things that you may prosper, that you may have health. Amen. May have health. Which is why you have to have a revelation of the grace of God. Because again, you cannot be condemned. If you're condemned, the Bible, the word doesn't change. Let that seed of the word grow in you. But don't do it for the results. Do it because of who He is, of who God is for you. Believe me, religion doesn't understand this. Millions and thousands of brothers do not understand this. They pray to have results because something is wrong in their life. They ask for prayer to get out of the situation, but they don't have a relationship with God. They don't hear God. They don't recognize Him. They've been born again, but they don't know Him. Or Revelations 4, verse 11. And what I'm telling you, none of this is boasting. All is for glory to Him. Verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive the glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will they exist and were created. When you have a relationship with Him, God, help me. Help me to explain. I always put examples of Nubi and I, not because we're the best, but because we know each other. I mean, I can tell you why we do the thing. Why when you see us, it's the reason why when we've decided only to deliver all the control to God in our lives. For example, religion says God is in control. Have you heard of that? And they always preach it regardless of what happens. They always say, God is in control. God has a purpose. And God is teaching you with that illness. And God is testing your faith. And God is in control. And what, regardless of what happens, God is in control. Well, with all due respect, it's not to criticize anyone, but that's not true. Look, apply it in your own life. Remember, how many of you know that these are examples only to understand? All of you understand this. But for example, be it Tuesday, be it today, perhaps on Sunday, when do you see all those who are members of the church? You always see them here in every single service. No, you don't see them. Because for whatever reason, perhaps they have good reason. I don't know. I'm not judging any of this. No one should come to church out of obligation either. But what I'm trying to say is, do you realize how God didn't bring you dragging you by your ear? And He set you? If God were in control, tell you this. Give an example. Again, I will explain it according to what the playlist is in English. But you can see it in session 3 of God is My Source. God is My Source, session number 3. The report that we have from our equipment, which is reported to us, only in YouTube, session 13, God is My Source, 4 steps to use the faith of Jesus effectively in us, which is, in parentheses, the power of rest. How long ago did I preach this? Last week? I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't remember, but it was in the study series. More than 50 million people have seen it. 50,698 but at the time that they gave me this report. Now, out of those 50,000, if every single person gave $10, how much money is that? Half a million. Again, God is not obligating. And not saying this to make anyone give out of obligation. This was just YouTube's report. But false grace says, oh, it doesn't matter. God loves you the same. And it's true. But the reason why people don't give, or not everyone comes, not everyone prays, is because God does not control. And God will not control you or obligate you. He wants you to do it out of your own heart. We'll see part of that right now. That's the true grace. Grace, false grace makes people stumble. False grace makes Christians irresponsible. It creates carnal Christians. To bring up irresponsible Christians, carnal Christians, people of the world who do not give a good testimony to anyone, neither to their family, to their friends, and at work. And the problem is, God loves them to those types of Christians, and God will not stop loving them because He sees them through Christ. The issue is, God sees us through Christ. Thank the Lord for that. But people do not want to be the same as them. I mean, shut up. I mean, you're not even... I know some Christians who... to the point where they speak bad of their own churches. And they speak bad of... and they give a terrible testimony that the person of the world will say... when one of those Christians end up being invited, they say, do you want to come to church with me? The first thing they're going to say is... of the people of the world is... to be the same as you? Now, they are children of God. They've been born again. They're going to go to heaven. But they haven't understood. And they don't give grace of what grace they've received. I believe it's Matthew 10 verse 8. I think Matthew 10 verse 8. Or either they didn't hear me correctly back there. I don't think they heard me. Multimedia. I don't know who's on the screen, but I said Matthew 10, verse 8. Heal the sick. The Lord speaking here. The Lord Jesus. Notice how He didn't even say, pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. It's in every area. Glory to God. Amen. Are you understanding this now? Now in Judas 1:4, but help me. We're going to see first the Amplified and then the Amplified Classic. Well, you see it on the screen. Amplified. Read it here on the screen, unless you have it. Because the Amplified and the Classic is only in English. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, just as if they were sneaking in by a side door. They are ungodly persons whose condemnation was predicted long ago, but because they wanted, they chose. You understand? For they distort the grace of our God into decadence and immoral freedom, viewing it as an opportunity to do whatever they want, and deny and disown with their acts our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing. Now the Amplified Classic.
Personas impías, profanas, que...
For certain men have crept in stealthily, gaining entrance secretly by a side door. Their doom was predicted long ago. Ungodly, implorers, profane, persons who pervert the grace, the spiritual blessing and favor of our God into lawlessness and wantonness and immorality, and disown and deny our soul Master, Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. But we weren't called to make it so where people will criticize us and judge the gospel. Again, I'll give you an example. Where the cats of the north will come here to Douglas and then to make a party there, and then, oh, Brother Hughes is over there, and yeah, God loves me. And there's Brother Hughes with a giant can of beer. And they say, hey, isn't that Pastor Hughes? And then someone will tell me and say, hey, well, and I'll say, hey, God loves me the same. Well, yeah, but you know what will happen? Those people are less likely to come to the Lord. You know how they're going to call me? Hypocrite. I'm going to say, and he's a pastor. As if God is to blame for my actions. That's what we take care of because oh, my apologies. Now Christ lives in us. I don't live, but Christ lives in me. It's called having a testimony. But all that will end up causing is you'll love God so much that you don't even want people to criticize the gospel. And I know some will say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, they criticize us either way. Yes, but you don't cause it. You don't provoke it. Neither will I. Someone say amen. Now, do you understand this part? Now, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. One person asked me this, and I'm going to answer it here. Said, Pastor, last time you said that it's normal that sometimes when things happen that we get worried, or that we feel sad. I don't know if it's said that it's normal that we get worried. I think I said like this. I said like this. It's that we have a soul, and that sometimes we react. Your mind reacts. A loved one dies and we'll cry. I mean, it's normal. Don't condemn for that. What I'm trying to say is, Don't fall into depression and you stay there. I'll give you a very ridiculous example. For some of you, it might seem ridiculous. For me, no. I have more mercy for someone who criticizes me because we speak about money and this and that, tithing, than those who hurt animals, who mistreat animals. I have to remember that I'm a child of God. There are some cats here. Various cats here. Here on 2nd Street. And every time I go out, when I come to church, when I come in the mornings as well, where I park my truck, since the gate can be closed, I put some food there for them. Some of you spending food. Yes, I'm not asking you anything for money. It's not even the money of the church. It's out of my pocket. And then from that same food, it's a big bag that I buy in the kitchen of my office. After that, I stop at the gas station on A and on 18, on A Avenue and 18th Street. It's a speedway. And small little black cats, they're a little ugly, and apart from that, malnourished, but they already see me, they know me. They hear my diesel truck, and they come out of one of the back houses and start meowing. Very ugly, but, you know, I give them food. And right now, I'm going to arrive right now. Give them. And then my cats. My cats are very well blessed. I have two at home and then two in the horse stables. But do you remember Tito? Well, Tito died. Man, it hurt me. I cried. It hurt me in my soul. But you notice how I didn't stay at home? I didn't stay depressed. I came preaching the word, but it hurt me. And I say, oh, come on, for a cat. Well, what do you care? It's me. Hallelujah. Man, it hurt me. And I thought I was the only sentimental one, but I think Dr. Maldonado that said that one of his puppies got run over and he also cried. I said, well, if this big dude can cry, then that means I can cry too as well. So as in, I wasn't the only one. And the same as you, Miss Sister Monica, with your cat, yeah. Dr. Serrano got his glasses all foggy. So I'm saying that bad news can come and our mind reacts. You see, it's normal, which is why we have that mind. What we shouldn't do is be guided by them. But we should be guided by the word. So we could sometimes get mad or react for stupid things, but which is why sometimes we can give place to the devil in the moment. Is what I'm talking about. So, now to understand this a little more. Again, this is a very good example. Go to 2 Corinthians 9 and notice how instead of reading it in James or New King James, we'll understand it better. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. What do you say? Now pay attention. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Well, no, you know what? Before that, go to 2 Corinthians 8 in your Bibles. For a moment. Now go back to your Bibles. Because this is a good example of the love of God. It's a very good example. This is in the second covenant. Even David. Remember David? David was a man who understood grace in the Old Testament. Now go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. I want you to see this. I want you to see this in the sense of love. Love. Understanding that these people understood grace. Paul was speaking to the Corinthians. And Corinthians were not many who understood this area, which is why Paul was teaching them. And he gave the example of the brothers in Macedonia. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we have known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. We make known to you the grace of God. So it doesn't. Now this has to do with false grace. That in grace trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality or generosity. And verse 3. Actually, I'll bring the ashes of Tito. I had him cremated. How do you call it? A small little casket. And I have a picture of him as well. There are some of those who have a can. They die and you just go throw it out in the field. And it's very classic. But I'm not going to enter there. I'm not going to enter into that. Who was that? It's good that the brother said it. Oh, I didn't say that. Notice how in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their generosity. Now, I was talking here to the Church of Corinth. Again, on the grace of God. For I bear witness that according to their ability, with gratitude, with their generosity, their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, that they were freely willing. Verse 4, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, in verse 3 and 4, in the New Living Translation, "For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it out of their own free will." You know why? Because that's what the grace of God does, and that's what the love of God does. And God has been so good with me. He has helped me. I'm in liberty. I see how faith works, etc. So I want someone else to hear this. I want someone else to learn. Glory to God. And many of those people, perhaps we won't even know them. Perhaps someone will, others won't. But that's the connection that the love of God makes. Now, don't lose your spot here. Go again to Colossians, verse 3. Are you understanding this? This is true faith. The true faith of Christ that connects to grace. This is the true faith of Christ that connects to faith. And this is renewing your mind with the Word of God. Because the world, forget it, the world isn't thinking about giving. If many Christians aren't, less the world thinks on themselves. They're treasuring for themselves, for retirement, things like that. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be wise, but you trust that God will take care of you, and you will have and give freely. And apart from that, God will take care of you, and you'll have more than just retirement, just receiving a check from the government. God will open greater doors. That's when you trust in God. Remember how we stayed? I'll go back to chapter 3. They can understand this in 2 Corinthians. Time flies. We stayed in Colossians 3. And we saw verse 9. "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man." That new man who is in here in the spirit. "As you have put off the old man, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Now continue reading, verse 11, 11, 12, and 13. "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved," that dressing put on tender mercies. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. And I'd like to have time to explain all of this. Humility, meekness, long-suffering, or patience, bearing one with another, and forgiving one another. If anyone had a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. The bond of perfection. You are dressed in that love. That love motivates you. What is a bond? A connection, right? We understand that. Also translated to link. Send me the link when they'll tell you. Being connected. That's what that link or bond is. Of love. You know, when I got this report, I put hands on it and I said, "Father, that these people, I believe that they were born again, if they were people of the world, and if they're your children, renew them with this teaching. With the rest of God, where they are, wherever they are, by Christ, by the love of Jesus. Because you love them more than I do. Perhaps I don't even know them. What does that make in me? Love. Love. But I heard Christians say, "Whoa, what do I care? Let them be. That's on them." When I hear Christians say that, it first to think to me. Do they truly have the love of God? Now go back to 2 Corinthians 8, where we were. Are you understanding? This is true grace, true faith. This. It's the gospel. Glory to God. I said, this is the gospel. Glory to God. I read up until chapter 4, verse 4. So 8, verse 5. And not only as we had hope, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he began, that he would also complete this grace in you as well. So notice this, not completed this out of obligation. Now verse 7, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. So which grace? It was the grace given, but it was motivated out of love. Again, don't look at Nubia and I as the best or as the best example or the only example. But I'll tell you this, which is true. Through these years, and it's because it's been a privilege, Nubia and I, a few times or more, have emptied our bank accounts. We've sowed, given those years ago to be able to pay the light bill, continue giving the mortgage, helping people. And no one obligated us. And we were neither thinking in ourselves or thinking that it was a seed that was going to bring a benefit. Like, yeah, we knew it, but we weren't thinking on it. It says how I pray, but I rarely pray for myself. I don't spend time praying for myself. Praying for me, it's 5 minutes. When I pray, I constantly pray for yourselves. Pray for the people that are here. Pray for those who are reaching, for other people. The Spirit of God, I let it intercede for what's going on in the country. It's, God, help me. Please help me to explain this. The majority of Christians, God bless them, but do you realize many of them only just pray for their own necessities, or they even ask for prayer for their own necessities. The average Christian, and not that it's wrong, but they're constantly thinking in themselves. Which is why it's so important to pray in the Spirit, because you can pray for your own benefit as you edify yourself, but at the same time you can be praying for someone else, for the rest, for the brothers in Christ, and you can be praying. Thank you. You just close your eyes for a moment, just to remove distractions. Not that you're being more spiritual, just to close your eyes. And from here you'll start seeing images of the Spirit of God. The Lord will start putting images of people, the situations in countries. But God forbid, how can I waste my time doing those things? But if you struggle, then here's my advice. Just like this, a simple prayer, a simple, easy prayer. Say, Father, please. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Now that this is being taught to me, use that seed and show me a revelation of your love. Because if I receive and I understand how much you love me, I'll be able to love the people. I'll be able to give, because you can't give what you don't have. I really pray for myself. People will say, how do you pray for you? I can tell you how I pray in tongues. I make some confessions. That's it. But again, I'll explain it later. Confessions isn't just to move God. Confessions, it's part of renewing your mind. Put your sights on the Lord. But I'll explain this later. Now, I like to study all of this, but this is very interesting, because you'll see just pure love here. So chapter 9, 2 Corinthians 9. Now, get it on the screen, verse 6. Chapter. And we'll read it all the way to verse 15. Very slowly. Be joyful, as if you're in the cinema. Amplified. Now remember this. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to others, That's the reason why we so generously, not just to receive ourselves, but that those blessings can come to others. I don't know if you're, what's the word, as joyful as I am with all of this. My God. Now, go to Ephesians 4 in your Bibles. Glory to God. Ephesians 4. Remember how Paul said it in, said to be dressed in that new man? Very similar to 4:23. Oh man, this is so good. Thank you, Lord. Notice. From verse 23 to 28. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Thinking about the most profound of your soul. Renew your mind. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God. Again, of the spirit man. In true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. So get mad, but don't sin. And do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor for some. What? No. Working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him to give to the credit card. Does it say? No. You can pay the IRS. That you may have something to give him who has need. So, Brother Hughes, does that mean that I can't pay the light bill or rent? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying what the Bible says. Of course, we have to pay things. We have obligations to pay. But the issue is we cannot give or help someone or preach the evangelist because no one has anything. Again, I don't have time to explain this. This series, how many of you know that we have to be balanced? Again, that's what's pure. As I've spoken against false grace, eventually I'll also speak on false teaching of prosperity. Because financial prosperity that God wants to bless you will never mean of necessarily of possessions. Now, the Bible says that He gives us all the things that we desire to enjoy them. It does not mean that He will give you everything just to enjoy them. There's a misunderstanding there. Reality, money is not just so we can have things or to live comfortably. Attention, I'm not speaking poverty. Because this church does not look poor, does it? But what I'm trying to say, and it would be better how some people who years ago who left church because, oh, too much giving money in television, people out there and sending money to here and that and helping here, helping other churches and spending money on radios. And we should fix the church more. Well, I said, I'm going to do what God told me. Now, of course, we're going to put this place better. But what I'm trying to say is, again, well, you see, we are by faith. We do believe in prosperity because we have this and that. But where does the Bible say that that's faith and that's prosperity? And speaking about materialistic possessions, although God is not against that. I've told you, I've been in many places where I've had the privilege of being in Fred Price's church in Palos Verdes. Very beautiful house. But that mansion could be worth, I don't know what, everything's too expensive, especially in California, about $10 million. But Mom Betty and Fred Price, throughout the time, and the Lord gave more than $10 million in the kingdom of God, and have helped many people personally from their church, given food, money, cars. You see the difference. But look at how many Christians do you know that they have a good house and they live comfortably too, where they live elegantly, and that's fine. Again, that's on you. You can live, be it in a trailer, in a hut, or in a mansion. That's fine. God has no issue with that. I'm not speaking against those who live like that. But go and check how much they've given a year, and I can tell you what they give in the kingdom of God is nothing, because they're always too occupied about having more and more and more. That's what's wrong. It's no longer blessing. It's no longer because God wants to bless them. Now that's called materialism. And that's what the world does. Have some patience with me. Now, go back to 2 Corinthians 9, where we were. Now, verse 7 in the Amplified. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose. As to thoughtfully, not like, oh, should I give or should I not give? No. If you have the love of God, you think, meditate what you're doing and the purpose. Just as he had decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion or obligation. When someone tells you, oh, they're in your church, he goes and steals your money in love, saying, no, don't be a liar. The Bible says that the liars will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because we don't do that. Notice. Not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. So you give freely from what you freely received. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, so the things that God put here, come in abundance to you. So again, God is not against you having things. Attention. Come in abundance to you, so that you may always, here it comes, that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in Him and having abundance for every good work and act of charity. Now, stay in verse 8 for a moment. And have abundance for every good thing and act in charity. I told my son, I said, you know what, mijo? I went last time where we have our pigs, and two of them are where they beg for the knife. Amen. You know what I thought quickly? Look, here we can bless people with pork meat Christmas. I don't like pork meat. Well, just wait a time more and then I'll kill one of my calves. That's what this is for. Put verse 8. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come in, and some fat pigs, part of earthly blessing. Yeah. I told my son yesterday, and Nubia, look, in that corral, about 50 calves can fit fatten up. What do you say if I grab 5 in the future, perhaps the year that comes, and spread out meat for Christmas? What are you going to say? No, I don't want some. Ew. Oh, better. It'll last more for the next. It's like, wait, when I'm eating something and I tell my children, you want some? No. Oh, better. It'll last more for me. Verse 8. And every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in Him, and having abundance for every good work and act of charity. Preaching the gospel, helping people in need. But you see the difference. Isn't that the same that some governments do? The difference is that here we're not charging a tax and then spreading that money of the people forcefully. It's out of generosity. Can you see the difference? Just so you can understand. I'm not criticizing any government. Just so you can understand. Look. Look at verse 7. Let each one give thoroughly and with purpose. Just as he says, decided in his heart, not grudgingly under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Look. One of the errors. James says, not out of necessity. Many Christians give because they say, they give in churches saying that they have a need. But the Bible says, don't give because of that. So what I do is this, and I'll do it right now, taking advantage that we're on air. But the difference. If any of you extract spiritual information frequently, be it through social media, be it through YouTube, which is one of our platforms which are mostly viewed, be it through the webpage, look at what I'm going to say. Consider, see the difference. Not out of obligation, no, consider helping us. Because from that, perhaps the money will come to pay the first 4,000 for the book to start. They said yes, they took a while, they reviewed everything, but that's how the protocol is. But the good thing is that this company, editorial company, are going to put it in Amazon. They're going to put it in Barnes & Noble, which is a big publishing bookstore, and in bookstores, Walmart, and I don't know where else. And what? And in digital format as well. You think that I'm doing all that? That I can gain money and win all that? I'm not interested in any of that. Again, not that it's wrong. There are pastors who do that, and they're authors, and that's fine. They are worthy of their salary. I'm just saying that I'm not interested in that. God has taken care of me. Amen. I don't owe where I live, and that's more than enough. To be blessed and rich and saying, oh, well, I have to sell books because I have to maintain my family. No, that wouldn't be wrong. How many of you understand that? That wouldn't be wrong. Again, a pastor. One time a pastor. You see, there, I say it like this because people misunderstand. I say, why do you misunderstand? I speak very clearly, don't I? So why do they misunderstand? One time, this pastor invited me over. He said, hey, I want you to come. He had me in his church for 3 days. And I said, I'm going to go. I'm going to pray. And the Lord told me to go, so I went. They told me, what are we going to do? He said, well, now you told me yes. How much will you charge me? What do you mean, how much? Well, how much you charge as an honorary when an evangelist comes by or something like that? I said, no, I'm not going to ask you for anything. Well, how are you going to make it? How are you going to do it? So he gave me the dates by then. I said, well, look, I'm going to grab my plane. I'm going to arrive. I'm going to rent the car. And from there, I'm going to go to the hotel. He said, but how much you want? How much are you going to charge me? I said, nothing. I told you, I'm not going to charge you. Nothing? No, nothing. The Lord gave me an instruction many years ago not to receive an honorary whenever. Well, he's the one that will supply. He said, well, okay. And so I went. But after that, I was there, and now he spoke and he said, well, he said that Brother Hugh said that he would not receive an honorary, but let's receive an offering. Let's bless him for him and for his ministry. Well, they received an offering. I don't remember the amount. I think I used more money to go and for out of offering. But again, I don't go for money. And again, all the offering that I got, I gave it here. Well, it resulted that months later, I learned that he brought another preacher, another missionary, something. Well, now that he was there, it seemed that he invited him and he thought that the missionary, again, they didn't speak on honoraries. But once the missionary was there, in the first night, he took him to have dinner and he asked, hey, We didn't speak on an honor. He said, oh, well, no, I want you to pay for my plane. I normally, if I'm invited, I want them to pay for my plane, my hotel, and the rented car, or someone move me around in the city. And minimum, I want at least this much as an honorary. And the pastor got so mad, and he said, how is it possible? And there were some other people there. He said, but hey, brother, that's too much. I mean, months ago, I brought another pastor from Douglas, and he didn't charge me anything. And then later, well, we had him, and of course, they gave him everything that he asked for. But then the pastor was speaking on this brother, whatever he was, evangelist pastor. He was speaking for almost a month about him. And the people there, I learned through some of them that knew me. And he told me it's because pastor said that you are different. But you see, I clearly said, the Lord, to me, told me. Oh, it's because he was too long or something like that. And I'm not going to judge anyone. I wasn't there. I didn't know everything. I'll just tell you what I was told. Again, that's my heart. Because God has been good with me. I made it understood. Now I'm not going to judge anyone else or what to do and what not to do. Out of offering or this or that. Actually, the Bible says that he who preaches the gospel should live of the gospel. It's true, there are those who abuse. It's true. But I'm not saying that this pastor abused. I'm just saying what I was told. I just tell you how the Lord deals with me. Now, to start closing. Verse 8? Verse 9? As it is written, and forever remains written, glory to God. He, the benevolent and generous person, scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He doesn't give to the poor from the taxes. You understand the difference? His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10. Now, he who provides seed, the Lord will provide seed for you if you have the heart, the willing heart. Seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing. That is, your resources. The Lord will increase your resources. So you can give, because how else are you going to give if you don't have anything? But God will give if you have the willing heart. God will find the way to give you seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness, which is this, which shows itself in active goodness, kindness, and love. Glory to God. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way that you may be generous. And this generosity administered through us is producing thanksgiving to God from those who benefit. How tremendous. An amount of people where I've traveled, they say, oh, Brother Hughes, they've told me. Like this, they told me like this. Thank you, Brother Hughes, for the CDs that you send me through the mail. I say, well, I sent you CDs? Thank you. Thank you for the study guide. Thank you for the videos that you're putting on the webpage. One told me, I said, I have nothing to do with that. I don't even know how to. And I don't send anything. It's the people that work here. Thank you for the digital archives. Or when Nubia and I have been able to bless someone, oh, thank you. Glory to God. See? God receives the glory and grace. Because all the thankfulness is to Him. God will be in charge. Well, guess what? Now we'll have for the book to be able to work there in the multimedia group. We just bought another microphone because signal would cut up too much. And Anthony sometimes couldn't hear me. And signal would cut up. So came today and he had to re-edit the video. Redub the video of Tuesday. And even with that, people are just watching us, listening through English, and numbers are here. For example, remember that we saw the power of Thanksgiving? The acts of Thanksgiving? In English, the power of praise and thanksgiving. Up to this day, 17,910 people and just with Anthony's voice. What if every person, just with one money, $1, $17,000? But again, you can't obligate anyone. You can't put a you can't put a gun through the screen. Glory to God. That's it.
Lord, I want to go sleep. What's this? Really good, huh? Amen. Be on your. I was telling about monetizing and for money. People will, God will supply. There will be benefits. I know some of you are, what? No, I didn't. But it's the motivation behind giving. God gives percentages. He doesn't see quantities, but he does see percentages. The same, if you're going to give something, I mean, thank you, Lord, because what a privilege it is to give. Pray and say, Lord, this seed I'm going to give is for people who want to be saved, for people who want to renew their mind. Thank you for, I know this money, this amount will be used for a good and effective way. And, you know, some people give in the internet and give the same. If some of you are not partners with Word of Faith Ministries, consider in your heart, you say, Lord, do you want me to be a partner with Brother Hughes and in the church and be part of this to reach the world? I believe I'd receive it. But if you normally extract and obtain an information and you're avid, vividly looking for what we're doing in our app or in our medias, and you have that need, maybe it's a way that the Lord is guiding you to be a partner, a partner in the spiritual. We're not competing with anybody. We're not the only ones, and we don't have maybe the best message, and we're not claiming that we are the best. Nothing like that. But I am just doing the part that corresponds, that was assigned to me, and all glory was His. Thank you, Lord. I pray and I'm thankful for every person who is going to give here in person and via internet. We give and we believe for those finances, for that time where we can transmit and live in our Chihuahua, in our radios, and the surrounding areas in alive. Beforehand, we give thanks and we walk in what is done. And we believe that we have that amount. Just how they hear us during the day, we want them to hear us in the evening on certain times too. Thank you, Lord, because I can take this message to your children, to your flock. Thank you. It's an honor, Lord, and we don't take it lightly. This is your favor, your undeserving favor, and we love you for it, and we praise you. You speak to the heart. You bring conviction to you. Amen. How many of you receive that? Amen. Let's pray for a minute. Because He is good. Giving is an act of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.